Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Dwayne Lehman here with Polyamory School Podcast for February 23rd, 2018. Today, we're going to talk about the best time to meet a metamour. What is a metamour? Well, if you're in an open relationship, you may have never heard of a metamour because an open relationship doesn't quite fall under the rules or the guidelines or the advice or the terminology or any of that of polyamory, whereas polyamory is a little bit more of a structured type relationship. That doesn't necessarily mean it's hierarchical, but in many of our examples today, we're going to use nesting partners as an example, because a lot of couples that are opening up are also living together and or married, and so that may change a little bit about when you meet a metamour. So a metamour is your partner's partner, and that's a take on a word of a paramour. So the word paramour usually means your partner, your lover, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your husband, your wife, your fiance. Metamour puts that a step further away. So it's your partner's partner. So it could be your wife's boyfriend. It would also be what your girlfriend is to your wife. It may be what your boyfriend's boyfriend is. And so and that usually extends one step. That usually does not apply to your partner's partner's partner. So we don't just extend that out forever. When we say metamour, people are usually assuming your partner's partner. And so when we're talking about when to meet a metamour, what we're really wondering is that very first meeting. Not necessarily, we may talk about later about how often or what kind of relationship to have with your metamour, but when is a good time for that very first meeting? My suggestion for people who have no experience, and this is per person, per style, per communication style, when you might meet somebody who's either not a nesting partner's partner or any of those other situations. If you are in that situation of living together and you are married or not, that's going to create some other difficulties. For instance, sharing bedroom space. You know, sleeping at home alone when you're not used to, if you're not someone who normally does that. I usually suggest right up front. It's a really great time for someone to meet somebody. Now, of course, if you're dating someone who also is living with someone, it may be the second date because maybe they're going over to the other person's house to pick them up for the date. I usually say, stop on by, come on in. You know, maybe have a drink or at least just stand around, have a little small talk for 5, 10, 15 minutes and just get to know the person, especially when you're starting off in polyamory. That's going to give you a much easier to deal with comfort level on spending an evening alone, feeling safe about your partner going out, feeling comfortable about having the conversation afterwards, knowing who you're talking about, getting to know their name, shaking a hand, giving a hug, whatever your introduction happens to be. And it also puts the other person at ease and also starts a conversation where there's an expectation of talking about the other person. So one of the things that they're likely to talk about is you and meeting you and how great you are and all of that, which is something you definitely want. And also when they return, talking about the other person, how great they are and what happened on the date and things like that. That's usually a great meeting time. Me personally, you know, living alone and having lived in a nesting situation several times within non-monogamy, I found that the shorter times when living together are great, but even when not, I usually like that within a month or month and a half when it's a new partner. And then I usually leave it up to the person's other partner when they would like to meet if it's an existing partner. So if I start dating someone new, I don't usually expect to meet their husband or boyfriend or anything like that within immediately. That's because that's an existing partner, and so they've sort of got their schedule down and they've got their way of doing things. When I'm the existing partner, I usually make that clear that if somebody meets somebody that's going to be significant and I like to meet them within a month or a month and a half of that becoming significant. In a nesting situation, I'm a little more involved within the individual dates. And so if someone is going to start dating with somebody that I'm spending, you know, all of my nights with when I'm not out with someone else, if I'm spending, you know, 4 or 5 nights a week with somebody, then I'm a little more interested in what they're doing, and that relationship has progressed to the level to do that. But the number one thing to always do is always communicate. But if you're looking for some general guidelines to start off, and you live with a partner, try doing that on the first date, maybe second date. You're kind of pushing it on the third date, especially if you're new, you're starting out. That's going to also push your relationship communication skills up. It's going to require you to actually work on them. Pushing that off is going to, unfortunately, it's going to encourage you to ignore the communication and put more separation in your relationships than they actually require, which is going to cause more stress, not less stress, which is what most people, they think avoiding causes less stress. That's actually going to cause more stress. So it's really dependent upon the couple. However, if you're not living together, if you're getting started in polyamory with maybe somebody you're dating or you're starting on your own, a good guideline is to also, you know, work with the communities around you. Have circles of friends, date people who date people within those circles of friends, and you sort of have that same thing where you know someone even maybe before the dating starts. But if you're not in any of those situations, the one thing to add would say, you know, go by, you know, maybe a 2 month type of situation. So you want to meet somebody, especially if people are living separate, they have a lot of different schedules. You then have to sort of coordinate. If you're living with someone, you're just going to be available sitting at home. When you're not, you know, you might have to coordinate a little bit. So that may go up to 2 months. You definitely don't want to push that past 2 months. You want to have some type of contact. And you also want to encourage, if you do Facebook, you know, and you're friending on people, introductions, letting someone know like, hey, this person is someone I'm dating. That way they know how to interact with them. Giving people a heads up. Again, communication, communication, communication. Anyways, that's my time. I'm Dwayne Lehman. This is the Polyamory School Podcast. You can find us on the web at polyamory.school. Hope you guys have a great day, and I will check you out later. Take care.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.